Morning, birds. It's a nice effect with the bells. Ah. Birds, an unusual thing happened this morning. I get up at the same time every day. I've been doing that for a while. You know, without an alarm, that was kind of a big victory for me. But about 6 o'clock, you know, central time. So this odd thing happened this morning. My eyes opened up, and it was still dark. I don't know what to do about that. Yeah. So just have to think. I'm going to put my feet in the water.
Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. 'Cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Come on, birds. All right, we'll work on that. Good morning. It's 4 after the hour. It's the Wednesday edition of the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago. Hello. Lots of stuff to avoid today and a few things to get into. Thanks for joining us this morning. Well, I know I mentioned the sun coming up little bit later, and we're going to talk about something that, I don't know, do you know about seasonal affective disorder, SAD? Woo! That's, like we don't have enough to worry about. We'll tell you how to deal with that a little bit today. And some other stuff. Thanks for hanging on here. A quick look at the news here. Senate Republicans proposed a new coronavirus aid package. Democrats say the slimmed-down plan, which does not include stimulus checks, is a non-starter. Trials of a leading vaccine candidate were put on hold after a volunteer got sick. I'm going to run that down to you in just a second or so. More than 500,000 children in the United States have had COVID-19. That's according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Let's see here. Good news. More than 100 hikers and campers rescued yesterday as wildfires spread in California. The scale of this disaster, and it's unfortunately now set a record, cannot be expressed in words, said a local official. Rochester, New York. Rochester's police chief and command staff stepped down following the death of Daniel Prude. Protests continuing since a video of his arrest was made public last week. And the Department of Justice intervened. I think we will have, like this will, it'll be one Trump outrage a day. I think we'll have a quota. We've got one today. The DOJ intervened in a defamation lawsuit. And stand by for that one here. Anyway, back to the coronavirus thing. AstraZeneca halted global trials of its coronavirus vaccine yesterday because of a serious and unexpected adverse reaction to a participant, said the company. We don't know what that is. They were testing the vaccine, and some of they were testing it on had some sort of a reaction. They halted the trial. That is a British-Swedish company. They're going to review and see what the safety angles are. In a statement, the company described the halt as a, quote, routine action which has to happen whenever there is a potentially unexplained illness in one of the trials while it is investigated, ensuring that we maintain the integrity of the trials. I'm bringing this up because I think you'll see more of this. There are a whole bunch of vaccine trials going on. This was the same day, I read this yesterday, AstraZeneca and eight other drug makers made a joint pledge to stand with science and not rush through any the vaccines just because the White House wants us to do that. Trump, of course, repeatedly claimed that a vaccine could be available. You know what I had to play? Should we play? Should we play? She blinded me with science. Want to? President Trump repeatedly claimed that a vaccine could be available before Election Day. No way. It's the third heightening fears that his administration is politicizing the race by scientists to develop a vaccine, potentially undermining public trust and any vaccine approved. So anyway, don't let them blind you with science. Some say the hold of AstraZeneca's trial is just evidence that the process was working as it should. Dr. Luciana Borio, who oversaw public health preparations for the National Security Council under Mr. Trump and who was acting chief scientist at the FDA under former President Barack Obama, said it's important for them to be thoroughly investigated. Thomas Dolby. We'll have an all Thomas Dolby weekend. It's 8 after the hour, here we go. This is pretty outrageous, I gotta say. Some years ago, a woman whose name was E. Jean Carroll, first initial E. Jean Carroll, said that she was assaulted, raped by then-candidate Donald J. Trump. It happened, according to her, in a Manhattan department store in the 1990s. So, Trump, of course, not only denied that that happened, this guy's the master of I don't know any of these people. He denied that he'd even met her. And they sued for defamation. So this thing is going forward. And get it, you know who's going to pay for Trump's legal bills as they move forward? You are. What? Yeah. In a highly unusual legal move, lawyers for the Justice Department said in court papers, Mr. Trump was acting in his official capacity as president when he denied ever knowing Ms. Carroll, and thus could be defended by government lawyers, underwritten by taxpayer money. The law gives employees of the federal government immunity from most defamation lawsuits. Legal experts said it has rarely, if ever, been used before to protect a president, especially for actions taken before he entered office. That is really the... That's the operative thing here. He wasn't even in office when this thing happened. Ms. Carroll's lawyer said in a statement issued yesterday that the Justice Department's move to intervene in the case was a shocking attempt to bring the resources of the United States government to bear in a private legal matter. I could go on for an hour, and I won't. That's the deal. Trump's effort to wield the power of the United States government to evade responsibility for his private misconduct is without precedent, said Roberta A. Kaplan. Shows even more starkly how far he's willing to go to prevent the truth from coming out. So, the alleged victim, her name is E. Jean Carroll, and you're paying for it. Oh, my goodness gracious me, oh my. So, enough Trump, let's do it. Let's see here. I got something for us here. Michael Keaton has a birthday today. Michael Keaton? No. Oh, my goodness. No, not Thomas Dolby. Michael Keaton. He's got a birthday today. The thing about Michael Keaton, you know, he's an idea guy.
Jumping Jack Flash.
Hi. How you doing? I'm Bill Blaze Jasky. You call me Billy Blaze. You must be Chuck, right? Nice shoes.
Hey, this is all right. Guess this is where I'm going to be working. I'm your new partner.
Swish! They're going crazy in the arena. They can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
This is great. What's our job? We'd like drive around and pick up stiffs or what? Is that what we're supposed to do? Hey, Chuck, who's this? Wife?
Fiance.
Oh. Nice frame.
Yeah, okay.
We can make stuff, we can read, coffee. This is great.
I like it.
You wonder why I carry this tape recorder? It's to tape things.
See? I'm an idea man, Chuck. All right? I get ideas all day long. I can't control them. It's like they come charging in. I can't even fight them if I wanted to, you know? So I say them in here, and that way I never forget them. See what I'm saying? Okay, here's an example. Watch out. Stand back. This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper. See? Eat it. It's gone. Eat it. It's out of there. No garbage. Got everything in here. Business ideas, inventions, musicals. I wrote a couple musicals in here.
Would you like to see the rest of the office?
Yeah. Hey, you want Snickers?
No.
It's not frozen because my refrigerator broke.
I understand.
Thank you.
We're going to get there. I promise. Steve Winwood at 18 minutes after the hour here. It's Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago. We're here. We're still standing. We're still standing here. We are. I just finished up a what is this here? An RX bar. Yeah, we don't do commercials on this show. I decided we would do something commercial free for the duration. So I mentioned a product. We're not actually getting money. Yeah. So. See what I have. I had an RX bar. It's got 3 egg whites, 3 walnuts, 6 cashews, 2 dates, and no BS. All right. Yeah, it's a banana chocolate walnut bar. Pretty good. I had a hot chicken from Nashville. I'll plug the chain. We had some hot chicken yesterday. Ooh, oh man, with the biscuits. You know, I wrote down here, eat, drink, and be merry. I think we are, I know for a fact, it isn't like I drink a lot normally, you know, alcohol, but I almost want to say, you know, make it a point to have a cocktail once in a while if you do. Anyway, people apparently are drinking just a little bit more than they were before the COVID. And I think we all look for comfort in food, right? So, yeah, back to the... See, 3 egg whites, 3 walnuts, 3 cashews, no BS. Knock that down with the chicken there. At 20 after the hour on Wednesday, as we continue to do our thing and survive. You know, I've mentioned this before. I think we need 3 things every day. One thing that you do every day, just, you know, as a routine. That's the show for me. That's being here in the morning. I like being with you, and thanks for making it possible. So that's the thing I do every day. And then we should always realize that there's one thing we don't want to do every day. Today and tomorrow, I'm actually making 2 trips to the doctor with my friend and by myself. So that's going to work out. I'll put on my calendar. And then what's the most important thing? You got to schedule something that you are looking forward to. That's right. So I'm going to see someone probably later in the week. Yeah, that's how I've been doing this all these years. Yeah, because I'm an idea guy. Like Michael Keaton, who has a birthday today, born in 1951. Otis Redding, also commemorating his birth today. I want to get to that. Otis Redding did a very cool thing, the Otis Music Camp. I'm going to share that a little bit with everybody. We'll play a little more music. And COVID-intensive effort that is still going strong, the Otis Redding Music Camp. So all of that... all that coming up, and we're gonna call up Sparks at some point. Sparks has been, she's been annotating her life for us. We need that. So all that coming up today. Now, did I mention that thing with the seasonal affective disorder? What is that? Seasonal affective disorder. Well, as I mentioned this morning, I was aware as I got up, or as I prepared to get up. The sun was not up yet, and that was part of the change of the season, obviously, something that we go through this time of year. What does that relate to seasonal affective disorder? Seasonal affective disorder, we're going to have an expert explain this. We'll get into that in a second, Dr. Vanessa Patel. Basically, it's just that we need more light. And during the time of the year when we don't get enough light, it just it fools with our brain chemistry. And to the extent that that is a big problem, then you can have some depression. You could be get pretty off. So that it's a seasonal thing, and it happens every once in a while. You never thought of that? I don't want to give you more stuff to worry about, but if suddenly you're feeling a little more, I don't know, sluggish. This time of year, it could be that. So let's bring somebody on who knows what she's talking about, Dr. Vanessa Patel.
Seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression, and it could significantly impact the quality of your life. The fact that it is seasonal affective disorder is that you're feeling these depressive symptoms at a particular time of the year every year. So your symptoms usually pick up in the fall, peak into the winter, and subside as we go into the spring. There is a rare type of seasonal affective disorder called summer depression, which usually starts in the spring, peaks in the summer, and then subsides as we go into the fall. If you're noticing that your depressive symptoms are happening at the same time every year for two consecutive years, more likely than not, you are meeting criteria for seasonal affective disorder. For a lot of people at this time of the year, with the daylight decreasing and our days getting shorter, we experience that our lives are slowing down a little bit. We want to plant ourselves in front of the television, cuddle up with the blanket, and not really do much, and we're just focusing on staying warm. This we can identify as the winter blues or cabin fever. About 10 to 20% of Americans do struggle with the winter blues. However, there are about 500,000 individuals in America that struggle with seasonal affective disorder, where it's a little more serious than the winter blues, and it is actually taking a significant toll on their day-to-day functioning.
So what do we do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'm not endorsing a particular product. I got a light thing, a light bar. It's a big, it's about maybe like 3 foot by 2 foot. Anyway, it's a big thing that lights up. It's got light bulbs in it. And theoretically, you just shine that, and I turn that on in my office for a while. I'm not sure if it worked or not. I can tell you, though, up in the Arctic Circle area, right, up in the land of the midnight sun, they get so little light this time of year that they have, I read this, I want to go to that. They have like large, I don't know if they're doing this with the COVID, maybe not. Anyway, they have like large arenas that are lit, and people go and they get into the sunlight. You with me? I know. Are you feeling better at all? Not so much? Well,
I've been loving you too long to stop now. You were tired and you want to be. My love is growing stronger as you become a habit to me. Ooh, I'm loving you too long. I don't want to stop now. And your love is growing cold. My love is growing stronger as our affair grows old. I've been loving you, oh, too long to stop now. Oh, I've been loving you a little too long. I don't want to stop now. Oh, don't make me stop now.
Otis Redding. on his birthday. At 28 after the hour on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago, it's Bleat Radio, which is at bleat.network. And, I'll tell you what. All right, I'll tell you what. Otis, hang on. All right, the music is so eager, it plays itself. We're going to do some more Otis Redding. So, last looks on this seasonal affective disorder here. I bring this up because the first time I had it was kind of weird. I didn't exactly know what I was getting. And I don't know. As I always say, information is power. Anyway, what do you do if you have this thing? Well, according to some people here, you exercise, which is good. I know as I go through this list that all these things are just a little more difficult under the COVID. Exercise, it burns calories. Avoid isolation. An exercise group, reading group, taking college classes, all involve mixing with other people. And we need each other. This is good. Act on your resolutions. Whatever you decide to do, act on it. A recent study from the CDC showed a strong link between healthy behaviors and less depression. Women who exhibited healthy behaviors like exercising, not smoking so much, had less sad and depressed days than those whose behaviors were less than healthy. There's good reason to believe that results would be similar in men. And it says, commit to morning prayer and devotions. Now, do you pray? That's up to you. Do you meditate? That's up to you. Do you reflect? That is up to you. But whatever you do, if you do it first thing in the morning, it's a pretty good idea to do that. And then, let's see. Oh, my goodness. What a segue. Take up reading. Oh, my goodness gracious. We're going to get into that topic in just a second. George Harrison on a live version of probably his most famous song that he wrote, Here Comes the Sun. On Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleat Radio. It's bleat.network. It's 33 after the hour. And we have an opportunity now to talk about that last thing that I mentioned. Well, you know, for all kinds of different reasons, why not read? Sounds like an advertising council. Why not read? All right, well, why not read? Why not read? I'm going to talk to our producer about reading here. I'm going to bring her on. Let me see here. I had a couple of theme possibilities here. What do you think? Sparks? Is that
sound? Yeah, that sounds like me. I imagine myself, well, that's how I sound when I'm walking down the street.
That's right.
You have a funny walk.
Yeah, well, people, you know, they have their songs of affirmation and their little theme song, but you hear kazoos, and I think that's a terrific thing here. So, listen, I was in the hospital last week, and I was talking about that, and I mentioned that I was reading a book, which seemed to be kind of, I don't know, odd among some people. I didn't really think that was. And you said that in some way spoke to you. So start from the beginning. Do you read books or what?
Honestly, I don't.
Yeah. But you're informed. You must read something.
Yeah, of course. I'll read stuff online. I do look at a lot of informational videos.
Yeah.
Whether I'm getting anything from it, that's another story.
Well, I mean, are you or aren't? Do you wake up the next day and say, "Gee, I saw something, but I don't remember," or "Wow, that's a good hack."
Yeah, I'll have to write it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get it. Yeah.
You sent me a note here that said, is reading a book a waste of time and energy? But listen, this whole thing of generational stuff, you know, your generation, you just don't, I don't know. Did you ever read books? Any of you people? Did you read like the little engine that could? Anything like that? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, if I'm speaking from my experience, children books, they're so easy to read. Yeah. I actually really like the pictures too.
Yeah.
I know it's weird, but stuff that's easy for me to read, I have no problem. You know, if it's like chapter book or something like that, and I know I'm not the only one, that's when, you know, we kind of struggle, and it almost hurts our brain to read.
In other words, when you're done with the picture books, that's when it gets difficult, right? Oh, my God. Well, but listen.
It's a funny outlook, but honestly, Gary, I was doing some research, and there were some blogs where people even said, like, reading a book is a waste of time.
Why?
You know, and
why they say that?
Because you can learn, theoretically, you can learn stuff that you would read in a book somewhere else.
Yeah.
I guess people just feel like we have so much resources now, and it's like, why spend 5 hours reading a book when maybe I could find a resource that can give it to me in, like, you know, a matter of minutes?
Well, we could really debate this. in fact, let me hang on. I think we may have a controversial here. Uh-oh. Oh, we plugged into the Sparks outlet. You know, I get that. Well, for one thing, listen, your generation, I mean, it's very, and this is a good thing. You know, you have screen, you know, screens as a resource. You know, listen, just doing this show here I took a couple of years break, as you know. We didn't have YouTube when I was on the air before. So to be able to just, you know, sit here and say, gee, let's Michael Keaton pops up, right? That's new, you know, and that's a good thing. But I also think that, you know, screen learning is different from book learning, I think, you know, or not. I mean, if you really want detail,
go ahead. I think they are two different types of learning.
Yeah.
But what I think I think it might start when we're a little younger. Like if we have already been used to seeing screens, you know, that's what we're gonna grow up being around, screens. Well, and a lot of us are growing up around screens, so I guess that's how we learn, because that's what that's what we're used to.
And it's weird, you know. Again, I don't want to sound like an old guy, but
go ahead.
my generation, I mean, screens are new, you know. They talk about the Internet of Things and all those things. I mean, that came in during my lifetime. I have an original iMac somewhere in storage, you know, that weird teal color. But the point is, you know, that was like that the concept of screens, you know, came into being when I was, you know, since I grew up. However, I don't know, pick anybody. My granddaughter's 5. She grew up with screens. She never knew a world when there wasn't, you know, when there weren't devices. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess you can make a case for it, but I think that there are things. You've been over to the studio here. You know, I got a lot of books over here, and I'm not. Yeah. And some of them, there's probably nothing in any of these books that you couldn't get somewhere on a screen. But you know, I don't know. It's just that tactile sort of you're sitting there by, you know, you're reading a book by the fireplace, something like that. Mm-hmm. I have a fireplace. If we had a video of a fireplace, we'd have it knocked. We could have multiple screens. I could have a video of the fireplace going. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Well.
No, but, yeah, honestly, look, that's interesting to me because that's actually one thing I was thinking about, too. Like, it's like we can have our phones in our hands, yeah. You know, and, you know, let's say we're on the train. I used to see people reading books on the train, yeah. You know, and now it's like, you know, we just have our screens. So it's almost like it's become so normal that it's like, why even carry a book around, right?
Well,
it's like I have my phone, right?
Do you ever?
But I'm wondering what you think about that, because to have a book, you know, you go somewhere in a certain environment, you know, you have your environment, you have your book, and you're really enjoying it.
Yeah.
But why do we prefer to read screens? It's just there in front of us.
You're challenging me here.
Versus having a very nice environment, you know, where we're reading. We had, you know, we're reading for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of get it because I don't read books,
yeah.
But I don't understand how some people can find pleasure in that because I don't have that pleasure.
What you do, the next time you're on the L and you see somebody reading a book, just lean over their shoulder and read along with them. Somebody was just ringing on our phone here. If you're listening to us live, that's between 9 and 10 in the Central Time Zone. Somebody just rang the line up. Go ahead, ring me again. It's 773-907-0724. While Sparks and I are chatting, I'll see if I can get you on here. So go ahead. Call back if you're just calling. Somebody was ringing me up. 773-907-0724. We'll see if we can do a little thing here. Well, I mean, that's an example of just everybody. Geez, talk radio now, you know, is so, you know, no big deal to have, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 people all around the world and chatting. That used to be, a bigger deal. I guess it's technology. Mm-hmm. I guess it's technology. And what's the deal on the 4-minute read? What do you know about 4-minute reads?
Well, not books, but online. If I do read stuff, I usually look for the 4-minute reads. They're very easy to read.
Yeah.
But I found this source, which was really interesting to me,
yeah.
Called 4-minute books.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
What they do, that they'll take books, a whole bunch of books, and they write summaries on it.
Okay.
So, right. And so for me, look, this is why I wanted to bring it up, because for me, it's kind of like, you know, we have let's just call it, it's like a company or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Company that this is how this is a product that they're offering for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like telling us you don't have to read this book. You know, we'll tell you everything that you can get from this book in 4 minutes,
yeah.
Instead of reading it for 5 hours.
Well, but
for me, I'm like, that's kind of presumptuous.
Isn't yeah. It? Okay.
To,
thank
to say,
you.
This yeah. is what you're going to get out of this book.
Do you remember,
right?
remember something called Cliff's Notes? Did you ever see Cliff's Notes?
Yeah.
That was probably before your generation, but that would, you know, that was like for people that didn't actually want to read the book, they'd, mm-hmm. they'd say, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it was a way to kind of cheat a little bit or crib, but anyway, So in 4 minutes, but that's got to be, you're not going to get like War and Peace, right? Or the rise and fall of the Roman Empire in 4 minutes. You know, it's not going to, 3 minutes, it's not even going to be rising, you know? You know what I'm saying? Part of this, it's how much information you're going to, you know, you need, right?
Yeah, but that's why I want to talk about it, because it's the convenience factor.
Right.
That's why I'm saying, you know, screens, it's easy to have this 4-minute book read idea.
Yeah.
It's just convenient.
You're not gonna take my books away though, are you, Sparks?
No, I'm good.
All right.
probably for
kindling. All right, listen, hang on a second. Let's go cast a vote, and we'll be right back.
Why should I vote? Nothing ever changes. The system is rigged. Why bother? Whether you're trying to get dinner on the table after working a double shift, dropping baby off with grandma, or studying for exams, voting can feel like the furthest thing from your mind. You might even feel like it's just not worth it. But that's exactly what some people want you to think. The truth is, when we stay home, things stay the same or they get worse. But when we all vote, we get new ideas and new energy. We get leaders who share our values and listen to our voices. That's how we change America. And that's why it's so important to register right now and vote this November. And in every election, go to whenweallvote.org or text WeAllVote to 97779 to get started and know that your vote will make a difference. Be sure to get registered and get to the polls on November 6th.
The First Lady, my First Lady, we will continue to make sure that everybody we know registers to vote, and we'll try to keep that happening. Sparks, you were listening yesterday when I was grappling with the double mailing from the Chicago Board of Elections. You know, I think the best thing we can do is just have a patriotic theme here. So, Sparks, the other thing that was troubling me was this thing with you and the stain. Can you explain that? This is kind of the Sparks paranormal life. What about the stain?
So I don't really have pajamas, so my mom was going to make some for me.
Yeah.
And she made some pink shorts.
Yeah.
And this is why I want to bring it up, because I my style. I'm a little bit more tomboy. So for me to have these, I call them pretty pink shorts, you know, and they have roses on the pockets. I wanted her to put roses on the pockets. She did that for me. I know. So... every time I wear these pants, they end up getting stained somehow. And it's just weird for me because I would never, ever choose to wear pink shorts.
Well, what do you mean they always get stained? What do you mean? You go to an Italian restaurant and get spaghetti sauce on them, or you stand outside and people splash water on them?
Man, just out of nowhere. You know, literally I'm just living my life with my shorts on, and somehow every single time I wear them, something happens and gets stained.
Hmm.
I'm eating. I like, Gary, every time I wear these shorts, I actually make it a point to be careful with them because they get stained every time somehow. So first time they got stained, I was eating something with tomato sauce, probably pizza, and it got stained. And then the last stain I had on it, it took me like 45 minutes to get out. Because I left the stain on there for 3 days because I was, you know, I didn't have anything to clean.
I thought you were going to say because it had, you know, sentimental value that I couldn't.
That too. And you know, I was kind of lazy, but.
You know, I keep trying to find, hang on, I was trying to find a paranormal theme here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. Boy, we got. Let's see here.
Definitely feels paranormal. Happens
out
of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. All right, what do we see? Let's see what we got here.
Right.
What do we got? I think this is the Outer Limits here. Oh, damn it.
Wait.
You know, I'm just going to take this piece of equipment and throw it through the window! No. Nothing. What is this? I don't even know what this is. Oh, okay. That's definitely not you. Yeah, that's where you stain the pants there. Yeah. So, wait a minute. Hang on. I think I just hear this. I have a haunted clock over here at the studio I'm going to tell you about. So I have a haunted clock, and you have haunted shorts.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Pretty pink shorts.
I know. This has become a very odd show just recently. Let's see here. Wait a minute. Hey, do you remember Corey Hart, Sunglasses at Night?
Sure.
Do you? You liar.
No.
I'll see you later.
All right.
Unforgettable Corey Hart. Remember that song? You know, I had a nervous breakdown. I downloaded a whole bunch of 80s music. This thing was like $1,000 for all these songs. Anyway, Corey Hart showed up. I was looking for something else, but sometimes we find music there. One thing I want to I want to play for sure here. We're going to do a little Otis Redding. Otis has a birthday today. You know, make a point here. This has so much to do with everything. Rolling Stone here is an article I'm going to read real quick here. In the music world, it's not just touring industry and summer festivals that have been impacted by the coronavirus. On a community level, the pandemic has hijacked countless music camps and education workshops nationwide. However, some organizations like the Otis Redding Foundation, which hosts the annual Otis Music Camp in Georgia, adapted to not only weather the pandemic, but flourish. Here's a quick lick. I won't read this whole article to you. They established this thing in 2007. We are celebrating what would have been Otis's birthday today. The Otis Music Camp brought campers nationwide to its base in Georgia to educate musically inclined teenagers. The camp itself, modeled after a 1966 gathering Redding hosted in the last year of his life, He was always thinking about how to better his community, and he was just so adamant about education. That is according to his daughter, Carla Redding Andrews. She's the vice president and executive director of the foundation. And one thing that they do, among the foundation's success stories, former camper Roderick Cox, who is now a world-renowned conductor and one of the very first African-Americans to lead a European orchestra. Redding Andrews, Otis's daughter, recalls how her mother, Otis's widow, Azelma, nurtured Cox's path. The student, dig this, the student needed a French horn to go to Columbus State University to major in music. And so she gave him a French horn. And that's what they do over at the Otis Redding Foundation. So successful that it was expanded to create a curriculum for younger students of music, Camp Dream. That was last year. Last year it welcomed 75 students to their Georgia summer camp. And that's all about Otis Redding. I'm going to let you read more about that, the Otis Music Camp. This is a good time. I was talking to my friend Lauren, one of the nurses who helped me out last week, about her kids are going back to school, you know, online virtually, 6 and 4. I said, go get them some musical instruments. They will love that. All right, so. All right, Otis, let's get up and do it. Otis Redding. Hey, that's it for the show on Wednesday. Thanks for being a part of it. Tomorrow, I don't know, we'll do something. I hope you'll join us. So to review today, you think you're getting some seasonal affective disorder, you want to take some steps on that, read something, read a book, read a screen, read your mind, read the world. And have a good balanced breakfast if you can, involving 3 egg whites. Let's see, 3 walnuts, 6 cashews, 2 dates, and no BS. This wide cast produced by Natasha Rodriguez.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends sharing